and welcome to Soar with Kate on the Coach on Fire radio network on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Kate Warlow and today I am interviewing Joanne Barry and we are talking about her book Healing Within Meditation and how using meditation can help to support us in many areas of our lives. Hi Joanne, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you Kate for having me on today.
You're welcome. So tell me a little bit about how you came to write your book and the inspiration behind it.
Okay, well, Healing Within Meditation was born, I'm going to say, accidentally. And what I mean by accidentally, on a daily basis, I would just do my own practice of meditation. And during my meditation practice, randomly, I would get messages to write a specific meditation. And on a day-to-day, these messages were coming strongly. And there would be periods of time where I would be actually driving, and I would receive a message to, like, this constant gnawing of a sound that I would actually have to pull over, pull out my pen and paper, and I would start to just write. And it was as though somebody in my head was writing a message to me. And the first time it happened, I paid it no mind, just wrote whatever it was that was coming to me through meditation. And then I started noticing on a daily basis over a period of time that this was becoming a routine, that every day, randomly throughout my day, I would get spirit to speak to me. And before I knew it, I had a variety of different meditations in a notebook. And during my writing, I received a message from my mom, who was in the spirit world now for the past 5 years. These meditations that I'm receiving should really be going into a book. And I sort of wasn't sure what she meant by it. And then I did get some confirmation from an astrologer of mine who also said the same thing. I was reading a meditation to him one day and he just stood there in awe and said, wow, that's definitely a book. And I laughed and I said to him, it's funny, I received a message from my mom saying the same thing. And he says, yes, he says, I foresee that you'll be writing a book during the course of this year, meaning 2015. So without saying, within a matter of a year and a half, all the meditations that I received on an intuitive base, I took all that information and started putting it together. And within a matter of a year and a half, with working with an illustrator, editor, and of course my graphic designer, Healing Within Meditation was born. And I owe it all to, of course, my mom for the inspiration and the guidance that she gave me to put this book together. And the sole purpose of Healing Within Meditation is to educate and also heal people regarding their mind, body, and spirit. And when I use the word educate, to educate people of the awareness of the importance of meditation and how meditation can help you on so many different levels, from pain to abundance to just relaxation, and also my favorite, manifesting.
Well, that's something that interests everyone at the moment, or any time, is wanting how to manifest things into your life. So what is your favorite technique? Do you like to do short meditations that take a few minutes, or do you like to do longer ones? Which is your favorite way to meditate, either one from your book or one that you use yourself, which may not have reached the book yet?
It varies from day to day. I can do a meditation that might last me 5 minutes and that will still help me manifest whatever it is I'm looking to manifest. or I can go into a much deeper meditation, where when I usually work with my groups, such as my moonlight meditations, those are about 15 to 20 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And in that period of time, it's a visual guided meditation where I'm helping the participants visualize something they're looking to manifest. And it's all very personalized for each person, just that I'm producing the tools to help them to get to that point of visualization. So I would say for me, my favorite form of meditation is a lengthy meditation where I can actually really go in depth and see what it is on visualizing what it is I want to manifest and see it literally come into life. So by the time I'm finished my meditation, in my mind's eye, I've already seen it into play.
Fantastic. Excellent. So my next question is going to be, people often find when they do, I mean, myself included, I have this trouble, whenever they do a guided visualization kind of meditation technique, they often fall asleep. Is that as common as people think it is? And if so, when that happens, people wonder if they miss anything during, if they're listening to it on a CD or MP3 or something, are they missing any vital information by dropping off, or have they actually gone to sleep, or are they just in a deeper kind of state than they were expecting to go into?
Well, that's a bit of a challenge to say. I mean, some would say that when one is meditating and they actually do fall asleep, they need to sleep. You know, my point of view regarding a visual guided meditation, if you are focused in on a specific image or thought, your mind is focused on that thought, so you're less likely to fall asleep. Also, I think, too, what helps one to stay awake during a visual guided meditation is whether or not you're sitting up during a meditation or lying down.
Yeah.
Because for myself, if I was lying down, I may very well fall asleep as well because I'm very comfortable and I'm in a different state of being.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
For me, I would, if I was looking to focus in on the visual guided meditation to manifest a specific goal other than relaxation, I would focus on a sitting up position so I can stay focused.
Excellent. That's cool. That's a good tip. Thank you. So what would be your advice for somebody who would like to start meditating but doesn't necessarily know how to, hasn't received your book yet, but wants to find a way to either relax a bit more but may have a very stressful life, or like me as a parent needs to take some time out from the children rather than the children having the time out, what would you recommend as a good starting point for somebody who's very new to meditation?
That's a good question, and I like the question. For me, an easy transition to learning how to meditate and to being able to quiet your mind and to focus in what I call and what is called chakra visual meditation. And chakras are just the energy fields in our body, which they're all, each one, there are seven of them, and they're associated with colors. So, for example, I'll just run through each of the chakras for you. I'll start from the base chakra, which is down below the spine, which is the color red. So if one is meditating on the color red, just visualizing the red to get as bright red as it can get for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that color has gotten to that point, then they can move on up to what I like to call the creative chakra, which sits right in the navel, and that color is orange. And to do the same thing, focusing on that color to it can get as bright orange as possible for them. And then moving on up to their gut chakra, which is their solar plexus, which is the color yellow. And focusing on the yellow until it gets as bright as it can be for them. And then moving on up to the heart chakra, which is the green chakra, with color green. And again, until it gets as bright green as it can get for them. And then moving up to the throat chakra, which is the color blue like the sky. and just visualizing it to be as blue as it can be for them. And then moving up to the third eye, or the mind eye, and that color is indigo, and getting as bright indigo as it can for them. And then the final chakra is the crown chakra, which is right above the head. And that's the color either lavender or purple, whichever way you want to go about it. And once they have seen all the colors, then they can either focus in on a specific chakra, the chakra that may stand out for them the most, and just stay with that chakra for a while until either A, they can start to feel more relaxed, calm, more at peace, or perhaps start to feel a sensation, such as a tingling sensation or a vibration, or they may even begin to feel energy flowing around them. You know, and for me, I would think that would probably be a good step to start for meditation, to get started, because it gives them a focus point. And it's easy to remember, you know, once they know the colors and know the areas, it's easier for them to focus in and say, okay, today I'm going to focus in maybe not on all seven of them. They might want to focus in on one. You know, let's say, for example, perfect example for both of us. You know, we're having a communication, we're doing a recording, so our throat chakra really has to be clear and open so it can allow us to express the way we want to express. So we might have wanted to do a meditation just on our throat chakra to make that as bright blue as it can be, so our words will flow easily, our words will be heard easily, and we can express easily. You know, and that would be the process of just focusing in on that particular meditation, you know, and on a healing process, for example, for maybe the throat chakra or any other part of the body. Let's say someone is suffering with some pain or discomfort. Let's say they have a sore throat, you know, or they have a cold, you know, focusing again on that throat chakra to get that blue to be as clear as it can. And that will help clear the cold or the sore throat. You know, of course, that's just one example of many examples of what one can do for the chakras individually and on a whole.
Fantastic. Excellent. Thank you very much. Well, also, I was going to ask about, do you have do you do any kind of meditations for children at all? And how do you see teaching meditation to children? Do you think it's a helpful thing for them to learn, or is it something that should be perhaps taught when they're a bit older? How do you feel about that?
Interesting question. And ironically, I just recently posted on Facebook that I will be offering a children's meditation circle for the ages of 8-year-olds up to 12-year-olds. I think the answer to that question regarding the age and what's an appropriate age for a child to learn meditation, mm-hmm. I think it depends on the child on an individual level, on their, I guess, the attention span to being able to just focus in and sit quietly. Mm-hmm. And for that, that would probably be the child that would want to do this, because developing those skills just to be able to sit quietly for 5 minutes.
Which, you know? It's one sorely missed by my children, at least, anyway. but my eldest daughter, she'll be 8 next month, actually. And she was in this kind of special group at school where a few of them were picked. Each week they would have kind of a discussion group about their emotions and that kind of thing, and how to deal with their emotions and things coming up. And one of the things they did during this group session was a type of meditation, but they didn't call it that, but they called it the Garden of Dreams. And so my daughter would come back and tell me about this Garden of Dreams. She said, well, we had to lie down really still, and then we had to visualise going into this garden and seeing all these beautiful flowers. And I'm thinking, oh my God, that is amazing. I was so pleased that my school was teaching them that. And so actually when she stopped doing that class now because she's moved up to the junior school, but whenever she starts getting a little bit sort of anxious and a little bit overtired, as it were, I says, I can't sleep, and they say, right, just lie down, do your Garden of Dreams. And she said, but I can't remember it. I said, I need somebody to talk me through it. And I said, no, you can remember it. Just imagine a garden and just do that and just relax. And sure enough, whenever she does it, she's fallen asleep within about 5 minutes. And it really does relax her, which is brilliant. So yeah, that's kind of one of the reasons why I was asking. But my younger daughter is 6 next week. And she hasn't quite got the attention span to try. I mean, Sleeping Lions, she's dreadful at. She won't play Sleeping Lions game. And she's the first one to lose. So she's just got no attention span at all for trying to. She's, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. Gets all frustrated. So.
Yes. So it's like I said before, it really depends on the child. Because, I mean, you can have another child who's 6 years old who may very well have the attention span to be able to sit still.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be so intense. It could just be a matter of asking them to close their eyes and imagine a color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a color they can imagine, and just imagine that color like floating around them, where they that color allows them to relax.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, so depending on the child and their imagination, because one of the things that I truly believe with meditation is, especially visual meditation, it's all about your imagination. It's how well you can allow your imagination to be open. And just to flow and to create different ideas and drawings and images, you know, in one's head.
Fantastic. Because children well, my children as well, I mean, all children really, have such vivid imaginations. So that's the kind of thing that does come naturally and kind of easily to them. I think I got them a CD many years ago. Which had kind of guided visualizations on it. But the only trouble I had with the CD is that it had the nice, beautiful, relaxing ones, which were perfect for bed. And then they had the waking up ones, literally straight afterwards. And I'm thinking, that doesn't work. If you try and play it, so that they just listen to this while you're going to sleep. And suddenly it's like, everybody get up and shake your body. And I'm thinking, no! So I had to think if I went, right, alternative method now. But, but yeah, but when they actually listened to it, they did go quiet. It was brilliant. They were quite happy to sit there and just glue eyes kind of locked on the CD player, sort of really focusing on what the kind of the story was that they were listening to try and visualise and imagine. So I do love how some techniques will calm my children down and will help them when they're in the right frame of mind and not too anxious.
Yes, and what I would also like to say about meditation on a healing perspective, because about a year and a half ago, I had surgery on my hip, and a part of my healing was with meditation, that I was actually on a daily basis able to just allow myself to quiet my mind down and visualize my hip healing on a natural base. And eliminating all the scar tissue and visualizing all the scar tissue, like, disintegrating. And everything just realigning naturally.
Excellent.
And, you know, it was a great visualization, you know, and I want to put that out there to let, you know, to inform people that meditation can actually help one to heal. And when I say heal, it could be healing a cold, healing from, chronic pain in the self, and also help healing the process of surgery or pre-surgery, you know, and it definitely calms us down.
Excellent. I love the idea of using meditation to heal pain, because I get a fair amount of chronic pain, but I do find that, I mean, most of the time I try and listen to my body and try and work out where the pain is and what it may symbolise. Have I overdone it that day, or am I not moving enough? I've been sat in one position for too long. That's obviously, if I start getting backache, then I know it's because I've been still for too long. And I need to move. But I do find sometimes it's very difficult for me if I'm having a bad pain attack and just trying to focus not on the pain, when it's really difficult when the pain is just there. Kind of,
yes,
like,
yes.
Constant, and you're trying so hard to just try and take yourself away from the pain. I find that quite difficult to do. I wondered if you had any tips on how to help that, for when you're, like, if you've got a big bad headache, say, and you know, you just don't, obviously nobody wants a headache, they're not nice to have anyway, but yeah, just to how kind of any tips on how to just try and remove yourself, your energy from that, to actually be able to focus on doing a short meditation.
Oh yes, I definitely have a great tip for that, and I use it a lot, and I recommend it. When one is experiencing any sort of severe chronic pain, whether it's a headache or knee pain or back pain, whatever it might be, taking the time out to A, quiet your mind, and allow yourself to like call on your guides, your spirit guides, and ask them to either show you or tell you what it is that your body is trying to tell you. Because nine times out of ten, when we have physical pain, it's stemming from some emotional situation that's going on. Or it could just be, again, like you said, let's say you've been sitting for 2 hours at a clip. Your back muscles are going to get tight from that. Mm-hmm. But that's a nice message that your body is saying, okay, you're sitting too long, so it's time to get up and move around a little bit. You know, so going back to the meditation aspect is, you know, let's say it's not as obvious as that you're sitting too long. You know, what's going on? Why is it I have a headache? Hmm. You know, just quieting your mind down, closing your eyes, coming away from, let's say, the computers and whatever not, or the books, or whatever you're surrounded by, and just checking in with your higher self and, you know, asking, you know, what is it that's going on? What's creating my headache? And then just keeping yourself quiet for a little while to hear the answer, you know. And I'm sure whether you get the answer right away in the meditation or the answer may arrive shortly later in some sort of message. And before you know it, the headache will be gone, if it's a headache or whatever else is going on. You know, so that's really my tip, is really allowing yourself to come away from whatever it is that you're experiencing, you notice the pain to come on, and allowing yourself just quiet down your mind and closing your eyes and just checking in with yourself.
Excellent.
You know, and, you know, checking in with your higher power, whomever it is you call on at that point, your angels, your guides.
Excellent. That's brilliant. So you mentioned earlier about using meditation for manifestation.
Yes.
So how do you do that?
Well, it's very similar to the visual guided meditation. For example, I'll give you a perfect sample of what I use. I have I think it's a four-step process that I do. And I usually use the full moon and a new moon to apply this with. Mm-hmm. And those is, let's say there's something I want to manifest. Well, say my book. Perfect example, because it's manifested. In the process of, you know, even hearing the messages from my mom and, let's say, the astrologer saying that, you know, the meditations you have should be in a book. That's all great. I have the tools. I was informed. Now the idea of it is, like, how do I manifest it to be a book? So what I would do is, during a new moon or full moon, I would meditate on all the visual meditations that I would like to go into the book, visualize what the book is going to look like, and see it in my mind's eye as it being a book already. So as long as it's in your mind's eye and you can see it, it's like it's reality already. And then once that process is finished, the full moon is, you know, you got the process of full moon. The next step that I would do is I would then journal and write about exactly how the book is going to be. And when I write about the process, I'm writing in the past tense that's already happened. So, for example, I might write as, I'm truly grateful that I have 16 guided visual meditations in my book, Healing Within Meditation. You know, and visualizing exactly to that extent. And I will do that process for about 10 to 15 minutes of just journaling. And as I'm writing, I'm feeling the vibrations within my body. And that's like my confirmation of knowing that I'm on the right track. Then from that process, my third process is taking my journal that I've written on that page and folding it up and sticking it under my mattress or my pillow for the period of a full moon to a new moon. So that's about 14 days. Mm-hmm. And allowing it to transpire with the energy. And then after that cycle, then I take it and put it in a box, which is what I call whatever is contained in this box is, which I actually got that process from another book called Ask and It's Given from Esther and Jerry Hicks. Familiar with
them? Yep. I love Abraham and Esther and Jerry Hicks. Yeah.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
So take that particular paper after it's been sitting under my pillow or mattress for the 40 days, and I place it in that box. And once I place it in that box, I say whatever's contained in this box is, and I leave it alone. And the whole process of the 2 weeks of the meditation, the journaling, the moon's energy, and, of course, the energy that I've been surrounding it with, in my mind's eye, I already see it manifested. You know, and then it manifests in its own perfect now.
Mm.
You know, and that's the whole... And it can be anything you want to manifest. It could be from the littlest thing to the biggest thing, you know. And I truly believe that the reality goal, as long as you believe in what it is you're looking to manifest, it will manifest. But the minute you have doubt that it's going to manifest, you prolong it from manifesting. Not that it's not going to manifest, you just prolong it. So the key of manifesting is to eliminate all doubt. You know, and I'm gonna quote from The Secret and also from Jerry Hicks and Esther. You know, the statement is ask, believe, receive. So once you put out there to the universe that you're asking for this specific manifestation, believe you deserve it, then you will receive it.
Excellent.
And that's the process.
Excellent. That's pretty much what I did last year when we were trying to buy a house, and we were having every house we tried to buy, we put an offer in, the offer got accepted, and then we thought, oh fantastic, we're going, and then we tried to start arranging things, but we always managed to find somebody who either hadn't found someone to move into yet, or just started dragging their heels, or then they just cancelled the offer. And we had very limited time to move out because we were moving from rented accommodation into buying a house. And our landlord wanted us out because he needed the house back. And we're going to be homeless soon if we're not careful. Then we found the house we're in now. And at first, it wasn't quite suitable because the garden hasn't got any grass. And that's kind of a big thing for me. But the house itself was perfect. So we thought, okay, well, it's a nice house. Well, it was empty as well, which is good because it's an ex-rental property. I thought, yeah, it's nice house, but let's look around, see what else there. And then this house sold, and we thought, oh no, that was our backup plan. And then, yeah, we're thinking, okay, right, plan B. And then we just didn't, for one reason or another, other houses just kept falling through. And then this house actually came back on the market again, because the original people who bought it had a problem or something, and then they couldn't go through the sale. So we went to see it a second time, and I was looking with fresh eyes, thinking, I'm desperate, we've got to live somewhere, kind of eyes. And then realising how perfect this house was and how much the garden was actually better than I thought it would be, because I realised that we could actually put our own personal touch on the garden, because it's just got a courtyard outside, but on two levels. So no grass yet, but we're working on that. And then I'm thinking, well, actually, it's empty, we can move in. Like, we can get this to go through really quickly because the owners want a quick sale as well, because it would have one person let them down. And so we did end up slightly homeless for about 3 weeks as our tenancy ended and before the sale went through properly and completed on this one. But all through that time, when we're still waiting for the exchange to go through, I was visualising being in this house, my children being in the house, doing things in the house, being out in the garden and hoovering and washing and and doing everyday stuff in here, and really thinking, no, by this day I know I'm going to be in the house, and I know I'm going to be there by the beginning of July. I'm going to be in the house, and before the children break up for summer holidays, I do not want to move house on summer holidays again, because it's been a nightmare, no childcare. And sure enough, I mean, my husband didn't believe it was going to happen. He said, "Oh, it could take weeks and weeks and weeks." And I'm thinking, no, we're going to be in there before the children wake up from school. And and sure enough, we exchanged on the 30th of June, and then we completed on the 4th of July, and we moved in. We moved in on the 5th, and it was like, yay! 2 weeks before the kids broke up from school. So it was just, it does work when you really put your mind to it and really. Really focus on that end goal and refocus. Right, this is going to happen, and it will happen. I mean, I knew it didn't quite go as fast as I hoped it would, but I knew it would get there, and it did. And just by focusing, and by I think by imagining myself being here and doing like everyday things here, and I could see how my room was going to look, and how I was going to put the where I was going to put the furniture in the house, and like where the cat would sleep and that kind of thing. And it really, I think it really just helped to give more. Some momentum really to my visualization of how I wanted this scenario to actually manifest. So, but yeah, so that I, yeah, so I could vouch that does, it does work. If you really, if it was exactly what we said, was it ask, believe, receive. Yeah.
Exactly.
Then yeah, yes. it does happen. You just, but yeah, just have to put your faith into it and it will, yes it does. About when it is meant to.
and it's all a matter of, as we said, ask, believe, receive, and eliminating the question on when. Yes. When is it going to happen?
Exactly.
Because it will happen imperfect now. You know, we may want it to happen now, but it may not be the best now for it.
Yeah.
But it will happen.
Yeah.
Yes. One of the things I've learned over time with meditating and visualizing and the asking, the believing, the receiving, you know, I might say, okay, well, I want this now. And on a universal energetic base, it may be, well, it's not the perfect time for it to happen now. It's better to happen a week from now, energetically. You know, so it, again, it's putting the intention out there to ask for it, believing you deserve it, and then being open to receiving it, you know, and being open to receiving without the resistance, and just knowing that it's already happening and you already have it, you know, and living in the action of having it already. And that's really the key to the visual meditation.
Exactly. You know,
which, yes.
So going back to people who would like to meditate every day, and who may have a busy life and only want to only have a few minutes spare, would you recommend they just do it once a day or several times a day, or how often do you meditate per day, and or would you recommend perhaps doing it for other people who either tend to be like at work all day, or just sort of if they have a stressful job or something. What's is it? Is it sort of more? Is it, depending on their lifestyle, how often is a good amount to meditate per day or per week in order to have the desired results?
Yes, good question. When it comes to meditation, I believe there is no specific time frame, nor there is no such thing as too much meditation. If one only has 5 minutes to meditate in their day, 5 minutes is sufficient. If one wants to meditate as frequently in their day, for example, let's say before they have breakfast, they might want to meditate a little bit, visualizing how their day is going to go about. By the time they have lunch, they might want to recenter themselves and just re-energize themselves before having lunch. And then at nighttime, either after dinner or before bed, they might want to revisit their day, give gratitude to their day, and allow themselves to calm themselves down and to get a good night's sleep. You know, so again, my opinion, there is no amount of, you know, is there such thing as too much meditating? Not at all. You know, and 5 minutes a day can go a long way. So it's not so much a time factor as it is in making the time to do it. You know, and that's really the key, is one definitely would want to make it a part of their practice. If it means they meditate 5 minutes once a week and then develop the practice where it becomes 5 minutes every other day and then 5 minutes every day. And then over time, they just find that the 5 minutes is exhilarating and it does definitely calm them down or relaxes them. They may develop that practice to be longer. So it really, there is no wrong or right way of meditating. The key of it is to definitely find time to meditate.
Fantastic. Excellent. So could you explain how people are able to get hold of your book and purchase your book? Did you have a website for them?
Yes, there are several ways of getting hold of my book. The best way, and why I use the word best way, is the most inexpensive way. It's available on lulu.com. It's also available on amazon.com and barnesandnobles.com. But as I said, the best way would be lulu.com because it's the most inexpensive for right now, mm-hmm. from what I've checking back and forth between the other companies. Those who do live in the Queens, New York area, they can get a signed copy by me. They can either contact me through email, and I can either give you my email or we can put it in the notes, whichever way is easier.
Yeah, whichever you prefer. If you're happy to have it on live on air, then go for it.
All right. The email address is healingwithin34@aol.com. And they can just email me, let me know they're interested in purchasing the book. I do accept PayPal and Venmo, and they can just send their payment to me, and then I will sign the copy and mail it out to them. Or again, if they do live near, they can stop at my facility, Fitness R Us, and they can pick up the book personally.
Excellent. That's brilliant. So what's your website? Do you have a website with other information about meditation and what else, and the other things you do as well? Do you have a website for that as well?
Yes, I do have a website, and that is called www.fitnessrus.org. O-R-G. Excellent. And when we use the word R, it's just a letter R.
Fantastic. Excellent. So if anyone would like to purchase a copy of Joanne's book, then please go to her website or to email her. All these details are available on the replay as well. The same link you use to access the show is also the replay link, so you can listen to us as many times as you want to get all the tips about meditation and how it can help you in your life. Thank you ever so much, Joanne, for being live on my show. Well, not quite live, because we're actually recording this. Because the time difference was a bit funny for us with the UK and the US, but this is a pre-recorded interview. However, all the information, just if you need to listen to it again, then just listen to the replay. And again, you can contact me on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/angelchakra. Or alternatively, you can go to my website, which is www.fallinlovewithlife.co.uk. If you have any questions about this show or how to contact Joanne or anything else I can help you with, please feel free to come and contact me. We just have time for a short angel reading for this week's show. And I shuffled the deck beforehand, before the show started. And again, I chose the angel deck by Doreen Virtue called Angel Therapy Oracle Cards. And the card that came up today, I do love how every time I pull a card for the show, it always has something very topical for what we're talking about during the show. And the one that came up today was Manifestation Power. It has a beautiful picture of, I imagine it's Archangel Michael on the front of it. And the message that he has for everyone who's listening live to the show or to the replay is: use your spiritual gifts and natural abilities to attract your desired outcome. Now, what he's saying, and what all the angels are saying at the moment, is that you have the power within to create all of your dreams into reality. And just as I was chatting to Joanne a moment ago about how to use meditation to manifest your desires into your life. This is reinforcing the message from the angels as well. And they're saying that whenever you need help to manifest anything into your life, whether that's better health or more money in your life or a new job or a new relationship, you can call upon the angels for help at any time. And by going within and reconnecting with your soul, by using meditation to help you to go deeper into a meditative state, you are able to access all the inner knowledge that is within you, where all your answers lie to all of the questions that you have about anything in your life. So the angels are saying that you have the power within you to manifest anything, anything you wish into your life. All you have to do is take that moment to connect with your soul, and also to connect to your higher guides and your spirit guides and your angels in order to bring that manifestation into a reality and to attract anything you wish into your life. So that's the angel reading for this week. In a couple of weeks' time, on my next radio show on the 16th of December, it will be a show dedicated purely to readings, and I'll be joined by my friend Donna Virgilio, and we'll be talking about goddesses and about goddess power, and also about the winter solstice and how this particular time of the year can be used to go within and to find the answers you seek, and also to learn a little bit more about this festival, the winter solstice, and how it can help you in your life.
So thank you again, Joanne, for amazing insights and how meditation can help our life. I look forward to speaking to you soon. So everyone, thank you so much for listening to the show today, and I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. Okay, have a great week, and speak to you soon. Bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want.